Ephesians chapter 2. As so often is, some of these sweet and precious verses I've read my whole life. And I'm so quick to quote them and say them. And so often I say prayer. How horrible that is. So often I say scripture. I hope the Lord will be with us today and allow us to hear it, allow us to see it, allow us to know Him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is of the Lord completely, in every aspect from beginning to end, so that God gets all the glory. We can't boast, and the saved sinner has no room for boasting. We don't have a leg to stand on, and we look to Him only. Now, it says there, God saves by grace. Verse 8 says, by grace are ye saved. Salvation's all of grace, every bit of it. God elected a people to salvation by grace. Paul told us there in Romans 11, grace is the opposite of works. If it's of grace, it's no more works. And if it's of works, it's no more grace. If we do something, grace is gone. And if it's grace, there's no doing. It's done. The gospel we preach, salvation by grace. There in Acts 20 it says, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what we preach to sinners. And we tell them we are justified freely by God's grace. Romans 3 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's an act of grace. And we are called by God's grace. He calls us to Himself. There in Galatians 1, Paul tells us He separated him from his mother's womb and called him by His grace. And that's where we stand. Romans 5:2 says, grace wherein we stand. In our daily lives, we stand on the grace of God. We breathe by the grace of God. We look to Him by the grace of God. That's how we get through this daily life. That's how we get through this world. And thanks be to God. When this life is over, when the sins of this world are gone, the worries and cares that we're just so wrapped up in are gone, we'll stand on His grace for eternity, looking to Him alone in Christ. And every believer, we are what we are by the grace of God. If I'm tall and ugly, or I'm short and handsome, if I'm healthy as a horse, or if I'm sick, if I'm rich or poor, whatever it is, if I'm a child of God or I'm not, I am what I am by the grace of God. That's what Paul told us in 1 Corinthians. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than them all. Paul wasn't boasting. Paul's telling the truth. He wrote the majority of the New Testament. The Lord said, go preach there. He went and preached. He said, study, and he studied. He labored, thoroughly labored, yet not I. Oh, what hard work. He stayed up late at night. He traveled all over. Wrote the bulk of our Bible, this New Testament. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Grace purposed us. Grace found us. Grace called us. Grace told us we was justified. Grace saved us. And grace is what keeps us, every bit of it. So why was this grace needed? Why do we need that? Paul wrote to us in Romans 5:20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin was there. How did that sin abound? Sin reigned unto death. We fell in Adam. We fell in our conception. We fell from the moment we breathed on this earth. And we fall every moment of every day. Sin abounds into us. And it's always to death. Even so, might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace must reign in us because we're fallen. We're depraved, helpless. We need the Lord's grace. So what is grace? We know grace is an unmerited favor. But you must understand what grace is if you would have a right understanding of how and why God saves sinners. You need to understand what grace is to be able to understand the Scriptures. Grace is an aspect of God's glory. That's part of His glory. Moses asked to see the Lord's glory there in Exodus 33. And three things were involved in God showing Moses His glory. First, God said, I will make my goodness pass before you. His goodness is His glory. His holiness, His perfection. That's the Lord's glory. And He said, secondly, because I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. His name is His glory. Who He is, what His name declares. And then lastly, God said to him, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God's grace, His act of divine grace, is His glory. It's part of His glory. There in chapter 1 of Ephesians in verse 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace. His grace is glorious. Every sinner who boasts that God chose him because the Lord looked down through the annals of time and knew that we would pick him, they are trying to rob God of His glory. They said, that grace was something in me. That's not what grace is. Every sinner who boasts of his will, of their faith, of them bringing themselves to God, I found him, they're attempting to rob God of His glory. They justify themselves. They're robbing God of His glory. We're justified through His grace, aren't we? But God says in Isaiah 42, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. That's what all of our works are, just graven in images. Something we've whittled out of wood, out of rock swiftly. Vanity. The Lord said, there won't be glory in that. Glory's going to be in Him. It's all to His glory. God's completely sovereign over all things. It's God's right as God over all creation to be gracious to whom He will be gracious. That's His prerogative. Everything is God's property. This earth we're standing on, this pulpit, the air I'm breathing, the lungs that breathe this air, the Lord owns it all. He made it all. It's His. Every bit of it. He created all things, including every person, throughout time. So God can do with His own as He sees fit, as He wills. We do what we want with our property, don't we? Kimberly's parents just came into town, and I went out front. We got some hanging flower baskets. And I took them flowers out, and I threw them over the hill, and I put new flowers in those hanging flower baskets. I wanted it pretty when my in-laws came. Now, if my neighbor came over and yelled at me, what you're doing is unrighteous. That's not just throw them flowers away and put the flowers you want in there. I would laugh at them all the way out the gate. What absurdity. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? Christ said, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? God just chose to be gracious to a people. How could we get mad at that? It's His people. Do what He wants to with them, can't He? He's the sole proprietor of this universe. God alone puts a difference between sinners. Lord makes us to differ. And He does so by being gracious to whom He will. And God's reasons for being gracious are only within Himself. Why did He do that? Why did He do it? Why did He choose me? He knows. I don't have to know. I just have to be thankful, don't I? And it's not by any merit in us. Not by any merit in that creature. And He doesn't owe anyone. And He doesn't is not accountable to anyone. He's God. He can do as He pleases. And we know that grace, there's no cause for grace. unmerited favor. But damnation, there's always a cause. It's never said, I will condemn whom I will condemn. The Lord said he's turned them to darkness. He's darkened their eyes. How did he darken their eyes? He is light. He didn't shine on them. And he hardened hearts. Look at that before. I always use a concrete as illustration. How you harden concrete? Stop working it. Take your hand off of it because it's its nature. He leaves us to our nature. But God never condemns anyone without a cause. He is just. And it would be unjust if he randomly went around and said, you're condemned, and you're condemned, and you're condemned, and picked some people to condemn. That's not just. God's damnation of sinners is always the just wage of our actions, of our nature. And it's earned by us for breaking God's law. A wage is something we earn. Grace can never be earned by the sinner, but damnation is always earned by the sinner. Grace is unmerited favor bestowed according to God's own sovereign prerogative to do with his own as he will. But grace is the just payment earned by the sinner. Aren't you thankful by grace are ye saved? The only doing I can earn, only righteousness I can earn, only salvation I can earn is damnation. That's my wage. He saves us through his grace. Now the next word there in verse 8 is saved. For by grace are ye saved. It wasn't enough for God to simply choose who he would be gracious to. These are mine. Something had to be done. God also had to do everything necessary to actually save us. Not just in word only. It's not pretend. He had to actually save us. And it must be in a way that's consistent with his holiness. He has to be just. He has to remain holy. Just think of the Lord's wisdom in saving a people. His people. He purposed to do three things in that. He's going to save his people from their sins. All the while, Christ was going to receive all preeminence in all things. All the while, the Lord's glory is going to be manifested. He's going to retain his glory, be just and the justifier. Christ will justify his people, save us from our sins, and receive all preeminence. I couldn't have figured that out. All three things are accomplished in Christ and him crucified. The Lord's glory, his preeminence, and our salvation from our sins. And Christ crucified is where God reserves mercy for thousands. And at the same time, will by no means clear the guilty. Sin had to be punished. It was punished in our substitute. That's why David wrote in Psalm 85, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It meets in him. No sacrifice that I could offer would work. The blood of bulls and goats will not please God, but a sacrifice must be made. The Lord provided himself as the lamb. He provided himself a lamb. We read that as if it's something that wasn't him. He provided himself the lamb. It was him. Righteousness is freely imputed to the child of God. And God is just because Christ paid all the debt that we owed to divine justice on that tree at Calvary. And he justified us. It was all laid on him. This salvation, Christ dying for people, saved by grace. It's more than just avoiding hell and going to heaven. Any sane, logical person wouldn't want that. But it's more than that. God's salvation is being made perfect in the eyes and presence of God through faith in his Son. By grace, he saved us and made us conform to the image of his Son. Made us righteous. Gave us a holy nature that can't sin. New man in us cannot sin. And that, therefore, we're allowed to be in his presence for eternity. To understand, that's to be given faith, isn't it? That's our next word there. Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, God's gift of faith is the means through which we receive salvation that's already purchased by grace, by Christ. That's the conduit that it travels through. That's just the way that we get it. It's through faith. It says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's a gift of God. If I come to your home and I look right up on the mantle and I got down a little figurine that was yours, your grandpa gave you or whatever, and I wrapped that up and I said, here, I gave you a gift. That ain't much of a gift, is it? It's from Him. Well, if I have my faith and the Lord gave it to me, He gave me something that was already mine. That ain't much of a gift, is it? He gives us the faith of Christ. The faith of God is put in us. That's His gift. It's His to give. But I've heard a lot of men debate over what's meant here in this verse by the gift of God. Do you know why they argue over which one of these is the gift? Because sinners foolishly try to boast that all three things mentioned here is something that's in us. Somehow we received grace, we did something to get it, somehow we earned salvation, and somehow we mustered up faith. However, everything mentioned here in verse 8, it's all a gift. Grace is a gift. Grace is given from outside of us because of no reason in us. And yet we still boast that grace was given because God saw something in us. No, grace is a gift. Salvation's a gift. How do we know that? Salvation's of the Lord. But we still foolishly boast that something that we did or said or prayed or whatever is the reason that God saved us. No, salvation's a gift given by God. And faith is a gift. To believe Christ, to look to Him, to bow to Him, to turn from us, for me to turn from me and turn to God, the faith it takes to do that, it's a gift. The Lord gave that. And that's what the Holy Spirit here is particularly speaking of when it says, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. And these things that Paul's writing to us here, we always want to look at them in context. Now from chapter 1 into this verse, the Holy Spirit's been declaring through the Apostle Paul that every blessing the believer has was given us of our Father in Christ Jesus. Every blessing that we have. There in chapter 1, verse 3, he says, Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He chose us in Christ from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And in verse 5, he says He's predestinated us into the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to Himself. Verse 6, He made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse 7, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Verse 8, He abounded. The Holy Spirit charged towards us, abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. I pray that the Holy Spirit would come to His child abounding. Take our hearts by siege, like a war, and make us known the mystery of God's will. He's going to save a people from their sins. He's going to magnify His Son for being our substitute, our propitiation, and He's going to receive all the glory, being just and the justifier. What's that something to know? What an inheritance. Verse 9. He gave us an inheritance in Christ. Verse 13. You trusted after that ye have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The Lord came to us, told us this salvation, told us what we were and what Christ was. who He is and what He's accomplished. And then gave us that inheritance of His glory in Him, the righteousness that He earned, and sealed us. That's a blessing, isn't it? We can't lose it. Sealed us in Him. And then verse 19 and 20, He compares the power to regenerate us, convert us, to the exceeding greatness of His power in raising Christ from the dead. He reminds us, He raised Christ from the dead. He can take care of our souls. He can convert us. Then in chapter 2, He says, you and I were dead in sins like every other fallen sinner in Adam. We were no different. These that received all these blessings. In verse 1, and you have He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. We were dead. Then here in verse 8, He says, even your faith. All these blessings we've received. Multitude of blessings. Your faith's not of yourself. That too is a gift of God. He's given us everything. We received a sign we hung up in the bathroom. It says, count your blessings. And I always think that's humbling to me. Anytime I see that, that's so used so flippantly in our society. Count your blessings. Try counting them. Real quick. I see that and I think, I have nothing to complain about doing. What blessings we've received. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Why did I receive all these blessings? Who maketh me to differ? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Anything I have the Lord gave me. Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Anything we have. Why do I glory in anything I have, my possessions or my thought, anything? Why do I glory? The Lord gave it to me. As if I didn't receive it. Everything a believer has is the gift of God, even our faith. Why am I laboring this point? Faith is such a gift. It has to come from the Lord. It's not in us. We can't boast in it. Because a person has only confessed he's a sinner when he can confess he can do absolutely nothing to save himself. That's confessing I'm a sinner. That's confessing your sin before the Lord. I have nothing to bring. I have no ability. Those who say they're sinners, but then they talk about what they contribute to their salvation, they've yet to truly confess that they're a sinner. They speak about salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone and Christ alone, but then they brag about their faith, or they brag about the decision they've made, or they brag about how holy they're getting, something they're doing for God. They have not yet believed that salvation's of the Lord. They haven't confessed their sin. As long as a sinner believes that something they did contributes or aids in their salvation, they haven't believed salvation's of God. Salvation's of the Lord. It says in our text, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is it to have faith in Christ? And we believe Him. What is it to believe Him? There's three things that go with that. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. First thing, faith involves knowing Christ in spirit and in truth. And this knowing's more than just believing facts about Christ. It's to know Christ because we've been known of Him. So Paul told us in Galatians 4, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. How can we know Christ? He has to know us. With that word before, love. How do we love God? He has to first love us. We have to know Him. We have to love Him. And it's not what our faith is in, but who our faith is in. So I've got strong faith. Who's it in? Faith's only as valuable as the object of its faith. Great faith in a powerless object is the same as no faith at all. If I made a parachute out of chain link fence and I had full faith that that was going to keep me from falling to the ground and dying, that faith ain't worth anything, is it? Ain't going to work. We have to be looking to Him. It's who our faith's in. So first, faith is to know God our Savior. You have to know Christ. Second, faith involves being persuaded He's able to keep us of His ability and everything that we commit to Him. The Holy Spirit makes us to know Him, and then we're persuaded. After we know Him, we see who He is, we see who we are, we're persuaded He's able. He is able. And then thirdly, our faith involves committing everything to Christ. Complete surrender to Christ. When God makes us know Him and persuades us He's able, we will commit everything that's in us or for us to Him. We'll bow fully to Him. Look there in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, second half. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able. He knows Him, and He knows He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. What did Paul commit to Christ against that day at Calvary? Everything. What about my wisdom? It's committed to Christ. What about my righteousness? Committed to Christ. What about me sanctifying myself? Committed to Christ. My redemption, my decision, my anything, it has to be Him. It can't be me. We commit it all. If we know Him, we know He's able, we can't keep from committing everything to Him. Through the gift of faith in Christ, Christ the Lord, our righteousness, is received by us in our hearts, and God counts us righteous. We don't earn righteousness. Through faith, the person who believes in God's Son is counted perfect before God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how we're made holy. Through Him, being made one with Him. And none of this is by our works. None of this is by our works. Not the grace, not the saving, not the faith, and not the receiving of the gift. We have so much in this country, and our minds are so arrogant. I could get a gift at Christmas and not receive it. No, I don't want that. We receive it, just like that cup there. If I pour water into that cup, it receives the water. We receive these gifts, and none of that is because of us, of anything in us. Verse 9 in our text says, not of works, lest any man should boast. What's not of works? First off, grace is not of works, or it ceases to be grace. Paul is telling us in Romans 11, and if by grace, then it's no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. Grace is not of works. Salvation is not of works. If you're still there in 2 Timothy, look up in chapter 1, verse 9. 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. How did this calling come? God's grace. Why did He do that? He did it on His purpose, by His will. The work was given to Christ to fulfill all righteousness, to justify His people, to declare God just, and Christ came and said, it is finished. They're saved from their sins. The majesty and glory of God's upheld. It's finished. It's all done. So salvation's not of our works. And lastly, faith's not of our works. We just read that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We didn't receive grace by doing something. We didn't receive salvation by doing something. And the faith that we have is not by doing something. Paul wrote to us in Romans 3, where then is boasting? It's excluded. How are we going to brag? If you know the God of the Bible, the salvation of His people, who He is and what it really means, where's boasting? Where's man's boasting? It's excluded. There ain't any. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. We've been given the law of faith. We don't boast because it's His faith. Any man that boasts in his faith does not have true faith. And true faith excludes boasting. Look over in Titus chapter 3, a few pages. Titus chapter 3. There in verse 3, Titus 3:3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. When it came to us, His truth, His word, not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Those that boast will say, but at least I believed. Man will... grasp, claw, bite, and draw blood to anything they can to honor themselves. And I put this down, use the illustration of fighting cancer. I bet there's a lot of oncologists in this nation that if they was behind closed doors, they'd probably whoop somebody. People say, I'm fighting cancer. I never saw anybody boxing gloves in one corner and cancer in another corner. But whenever people say, they have this picture of fighting cancer and they're helpless. They're bald, they're weak, and they don't believe the medicine will work. They're laid in a hospital bed about to die. When you have that medicine put in your veins, you start gaining strength, and you start getting a little better, you believe the medicine is working. You can feel it, can't you? You know that, because it is working. So you start having your mind back to you. In the same manner, a sinner can't do anything but believe when Christ the life's breathed into us by God. Faith that commits all to Christ is the result of Christ the life put in us, like breathing is the result of natural life. How do we believe on Christ? He breathed life into me. That's the nature and the instinct of the new man put in us. We believe. How do we have faith? He breathed life into us. And that's the nature and the instinct of the new man. What do we know through that? The Lord was gracious to us and He saved us. He'll receive all the glory. In 1 John 5 it says, and this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What is it to be saved? It's to have Christ. That's how you have life. He is life. And all this, not of works, it's His doing. Salvation's of the Lord by His hand, lest any man should boast. Grace, salvation, and faith are not of works, lest any man should boast. If any man contributes even slightly, then that's boasting, and we'll boast. Therefore, God does everything so that His people contribute nothing. We receive everything unless we should glory in it. If anything was left to us, we would cling to it. So Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 1:29 that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Any spiritual blessing we receive, any temporal blessing we receive, it's of the Lord. We're thankful and glory in Him only. And believers don't want it any other way. We don't want it any other way. Because we're His workmanship. We'll see that next week. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're the work of His hands. That's right. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 43:7, everyone that is called by my name, she's called by my name. I married her. She got my name. I'm called by his name. Everyone that is called by my name, I have created in him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. And what a privilege it would be. And my prayer, if the Lord would come to his people, form them, make them, and give them his name, and then tell them about it. Give them faith to look to Christ alone. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. I pray the Lord's gracious to us today. Let's pray together.